It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Looks like Halloween is getting 2021. At 1:30, we update some injuries for Dak, Baker, and more from NFL Week 6. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. Texas on the off week. So is Baylor. It'll be a nice balanced schedule there for both teams. And yes, it's an 11 a.m. kick on the 30th, if you did not realize that. We talked Longhorn football. We'll do a little bit of that, of course, with our guests. We do it each and every Tuesday about this time. It is the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, even though he's sitting right over there. He is Jeff Ward, jeffwardshow.com. He also brings you the 6 minutes of football podcast this week. It's got a little Longhorn and a little Aggie stuff for you. How are you, sir?
Great.
All right. So your choice. You want to start with the Jimbo one or the Texas one?
Read the Jimbo teaser.
The teaser is, and we've read it before. We're ahead.
No, I don't believe you.
No, we have.
That's,
I swear.
A lie.
Somebody's not listening on the way over here.
the hilarious story behind the Jimbo Fisher locker room selfie.
Okay.
I have no idea what this is referencing, so let's go.
Okay. The podcast will be out at 2 o'clock. Just had the conversation with the guy. This kid is funny. Have you not read the story about the guy that got into the A&M locker room as a recruit?
No.
Oh, my gosh. And to hear him tell how he did it is even better.
This is this past week?
His name is Alex Sunderland, and he's a student at UTSA.
Okay.
So he... You got to hear him tell the story to fully appreciate what he pulled off. He goes, some buddies just go to College Station because they want to go out and party. I don't know why there, but whatever. Okay.
How dare you? Yeah. Lots of drinking to be had.
I was going to say, you kind of bypass another city on the way there. You may want to stop in Austin.
There's a game going
on. Okay, so they go there. They don't have tickets. And you haven't read about this kid in Sports Illustrated yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
So he's out there in the parking lot drinking with his buddies. They don't have a ticket to the game. They just went there, whatever.
Yep.
And he sees this ticket, this pass, laying on the ground. His VIP on it. He picks it up. You got to hear him tell the story because he does it much better than me. I'll fast track it. He goes to the front. They let him in. Then somebody says, oh, you're the VIP area. So he goes over and he said, it looked like a bunch of young guys. I assume they were recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and he hangs out with them.
Right.
Okay. He's this college kid from San Antonio. Somebody comes up to him and says something, and he pretends that he can't speak English, and he tells him he's a kicker from Mexico.
Wow.
They put him over the recruits. Game's over. Crowd's going crazy. He goes, he's got his phone on now. Now he's like going, can you believe what I'm doing? I'm out in the field. He's out in the field with these guys. He's out there. Then he goes, well, I thought I'd just take it further. He ends up in the locker room. There's a picture in Sports Illustrated of Aggie celebrating, and you see him right in the middle of them. It's
wow.
Awesome.
Whoa.
And then he's got a selfie of he and Jimbo Fisher.
That's incredible.
And he goes and he keeps the story throughout the night. Barely speaks English. I'm a kicker from Mexico. Then he starts telling people his next recruiting visit is Clemson. And then he sits over with Jimbo Fisher.
Wow.
It is a hilarious story.
Like, he literally sits and does, like, he's talking to Jimbo about coming to the school.
Yeah,
and
so he's just walking around the locker room.
That's awesome.
And he said they're going nuts. And so he ends up, the quarterback speaks Spanish also. So he ends up telling him his story.
Calzada, yeah.
Finally, he owns up to him and says, look, man, I just been here with my buddies. Just and the guy cracks up and he goes, that's awesome. And he goes,
Calzada
really?
Loved it.
Yeah, and he goes, just don't steal anything. He goes, no, it's cool.
I
found my way in here. And so then he looked across the room and he said, you had to hear him tell this story. It is a priceless. And he goes, I saw Jimbo Fisher sitting over on the bench by himself. So I go over and I talk to him and he asks who I am. And I tell him I'm a kicker from Mexico and a recruit. And he puts his arm around me and starts chatting me up. Then they got a selfie.
Wow.
And I said, hold it up to the camera. He held it up, and there are the two of them right there.
That's amazing.
It is a hilarious story the way he tells it.
Yeah.
He walked his way through. He goes, every time I turned around, they just kept telling me to go and go and go. And he goes, next thing you know, I walk in the locker room with other guys.
One of the best pieces of advice I've ever been given in life is sometimes you just have to act like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. So I go, did you plan it? He goes, man, I promise, I didn't plan any of this. So he goes, I'm FaceTiming my dad on the field. And he's getting mad at me. He said, Dad, Like, what do you want me to do? They just keep letting me in. He said, I promise. I didn't steal anything. I didn't find the ticket.
I haven't broken the law.
So, yeah, so there's a, they profile him in Sports Illustrated. And in the picture, you see the Aggies going crazy. And there's an arrow pointing at this one dude just in street clothes. And that's him right in the middle, just sitting there.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Now, he's not the guy that gave Nick Saban the bruise that he's been showing off this week.
Did you catch that?
The arm bruise for Nick Saban?
Yeah.
That was a crazy night.
His name is Alex Sunderland, and I interviewed him today. He's sitting there in his dorm room at UTSA, and he goes, yeah, my phone just started blowing up. He goes, I'm FaceTiming all my buddies, and they're out just drinking outside the stadium, and they're cracking up.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because he said they went there at halftime.
Oh, dude, once you see him, you're in College Station. Once he's back with that group, like how many drinks did he get that night, huh? Right, he's not buying drinks the rest of the night.
How long did you hang out with Jimbo Fisher? He goes, I knew I could get some beers out of this, so I went and started drinking beer.
Wait, he drank beer with Jimbo?
No.
Okay.
And I said, did you ever think about taking it further, like going with the recruits back over to the complex? Well, you know, all the stuff they do. He goes, I was getting kind of bored with the whole thing.
Right.
So I just wanted to go drink.
Because, yeah, at that point. Because
the kicker's not going to have the co-eds throwing themselves at him as a recruit.
Be careful about that.
You know. This guy right here
might be surprised.
This guy right here might tell you. Depends on how you split, split the uprights.
He did skinny dip with Miss Arizona in Mexico.
Where did you get that?
You told us.
You did tell that story.
Oh,
that is true.
Did I tell how it ended?
No.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
How?
We had her on the show. She told us how it ended. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That's not true.
No, it's yeah. I was tired, okay? And so the currents were super strong. And I thought, man.
Water was cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really want to swim back or walk back or wherever I was. You know, I'm like 5 miles down the coast. Huh. There's a hotel room that's open. I think I'll go crash there. Go in, crash. Wake up. There's the screaming co-eds because Jeff is laying in their bed.
Oh, wait a minute.
You Robert Downey Jr.
did.
You might have told us that story.
Said,
that sounds
kind of
familiar.
Yes. Yeah. On. I'm not a psycho. You've got to help me out here. I'm a little down on my luck.
So, I'm a kicker who's down on his luck.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to get back to Austin. Just a little tired. Swam a long way last night at 4 o'clock.
Wait a second. Was it the Miss Arizona's, was it her group?
No.
Somebody completely different.
Yeah.
She had vacated the premises.
She decided maybe this is not such a romantic night after all.
Maybe this is not exactly
climbing up the side of a hotel is not so romantic with some Pacificos.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's fantastic.
We broke up.
Yeah, it didn't happen, huh?
Well, you broke up.
Yeah.
How long were you together?
What kind of setup is that?
That's
you can't fill in the blanks?
That's a good probing question.
Yeah, like 6 hours?
There it is.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Good gosh,
you
man.
Said we broke up. We just went our separate ways.
Yeah. You did make it sound like there was a relationship when you said we broke up. Trey was just trying to make sure.
Well, he didn't share the details of the 45 minutes in the water.
Exactly.
It did feel like you might have been.
Thank God she could swim too.
Yeah. It did feel
are
like.
Are we going to make it? I don't know. Just start breaststroke.
Yeah, like you were about to warm your way up to, and I'm married to her today. Like
yeah,
you felt like.
No, we started dating at 10.
Ah, yes.
Broke up at 4 a.m.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You got to listen to the guy, though. You'll appreciate it. Because then.
Oh, that's amazing.
I go, come on. No one ever confronts you. He goes, yeah. He goes, I was, you know, going my way through the whole stadium, just getting passed on to the next person. And so then he goes, security guard. He goes, because I wasn't even with the recruits, Jeff. He said, I was just walking around with a VIP pass, and they would just point me in a direction. He goes, next thing I know, they point me to the field. So some guy comes over, and he's in charge of the recruits. And he says, well, who are you? And he looks at his list, and I figure I'm busted or whatever. And he starts in this bad accent. He goes, I kick her from Mexico. And the guy goes for it.
Wow.
He walks him down to the field. He goes, next thing I'm FaceTiming my buddies, I'm on the field the second half.
Because you can't just leave him on the field there. Because
right.
If it's not on your list, and yeah, that's a perfect thing to say.
He's really funny. Really a funny guy.
So check that out.
Boy, and the cherry on top for this guy is UTSA is really good this year,
I know. He laughed about that.
Right.
And yeah, he said, I should have been going to our game. And he was in SI. He was on, I think Barstool Sports just had him on or something. And I just sent out, had somebody send out a message to him, and he responded. And He was, you know, that stuff usually works. A great story, but bad interview. Super nice kid, really funny, kind of rolling with it. He goes, look, I promise you, I'm not some deviant. He goes, my dad called me a couple of days ago and said, you know, son, this is the kind of stuff that can follow you. And he said, yeah, but dad, I mean, I was just kidding around. I said, oh, you're fine. No one's ever going to, people are going to think it's funny.
Right. I was going to say, this could follow him in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, works retail somewhere. He goes, yeah, my boss thinks it's funny. And I go, good for you.
Yeah, that's a
nice, wholesome prankster.
Yeah, good story. Right, he's no harm done.
No harm done. No crime committed.
That's my kind of prankster.
Absolutely.
Well, he did misrepresent himself
onto
a football
lighten
field.
Lighten up.
He only misrepresented.
I'm just saying there's a crime committed there.
Minor
crime.
He only misrepresented himself 3/4 of the way through the process.
True.
That's not
very
really
true. And I thought, I mean, don't you think, I realize Jimbo Fisher is pretty worked up and excited at that moment. Don't you think he'd kind of notice? Wait, who? We're recruiting who from Mexico?
Yeah, he may not know, though.
He's so disconnected from the recruiting process, especially.
I don't know.
And look, I don't want to slight
kickers. Now that he's counting money.
But he could have forgotten, right? He could have forgotten, and he's got another coach that's on that. And they've been special teams. Who knows? Yeah. The fact that there's a selfie is awesome.
So, I go, hold the picture of it. He had it right there on his phone. He goes,
that's
it
amazing.
It was hilarious. He's got a towel on him because he's in the locker room.
Right.
And he's all sweaty.
Well, like Jimbo doesn't have a shirt on.
Yeah.
Like he's just got out of the shower.
The two of them are just smiling as big as they can.
That's great.
I wonder if he would have gotten caught if A&M had lost that game. Because that was the Alabama game, right?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah, people would have been in a little different mood.
Yeah, I mean, the story wouldn't have been as fun.
Do we know how that girl is that got decked on the field by Saban's security guy?
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Which is one of the I think a security thing with coaches is stupid.
That dude.
They act like they need the FBI or something. You know, these goons following them everywhere they go.
I have no problem with them protecting the coaches, but that girl was doing absolutely nothing and she just got decked.
Yeah.
You can't use that as a license to forearm shiver people.
Yeah.
Like, protect the coach. I get it. You don't want somebody attacking Nick Saban. But come on now. That got a little crazy.
According to the Bryan College Station Eagle, a kicking recruit picked her up off the field and had a nice night.
Now you're going to make it have a dark turn.
There it is.
I said nice night.
Yes.
Everything was consensual.
He picked her up.
Absolutely.
Everything was good. Jeff Ward joining us as he does each and every Tuesday. All right, your other 6 minutes of football podcast that you let us know about is called Calm Down, Texas Fans. Settle Down, Texas Fans.
Settle down.
From what?
You think they're too excited?
The coach. Look, they suck on defense. I tried to say it months ago. When you suck on defense, you're going to get beat when people can run. Sorry. He can't fix that.
You did say that.
You get shoved around. There's no quick fix. Actually, Steve Sarkisian, in the grand scheme of things, I think is doing things pretty well. They start fast. The play calling is good. The play calling is as good as it can be. And what I said, I have somebody on your message board here of all the lovely people. After I said, you asked me, what did you think of them after they got beat by Arkansas? And I said, I think the same thing as I did before. And I think the same thing now. In a matchup problem, they're going to get schooled. Someone's going to run right at them and run right over them. Period. End of story.
Since he is the offensive play caller, do you think there is something play calling wise that can be done to help out, to kind of cover what that offensive line's got going on and obviously trying to show off Bijan?
Not much, I think, is my answer. You don't want to spend too much of your time coaching to cover. I think he did do that. It's a tough call no matter what. Fourth and three at with 3:17 left in the game.
It's like the 40-45,
yeah.
Somewhere in that range?
That is, if you have your timeouts, there might be a legitimate reason to punt there, unless you suck on defense.
And they had sucked on defense
in the fourth quarter. I mean, the play got blown up, and I know people were freaking out about that, but the fact is they had to do what they did because he knew, either way, they get the ball back, they're going to gut my defense, and I'm going to lose.
They gave up like 150 yards on the ground in the fourth quarter.
Yes,
basically
right.
By itself. Late third quarter, I'm doing the rewatch, and it said 70 yards rushing. I'm like, wait a minute, didn't they end with 220? They got 150 in like 13 minutes of game, or excuse me, in 16 minutes of game time.
One guy had 150 and a half.
Wow.
Jaylen Warren is now third in the country with something like 46 missed tackles. forced on the season, 40 of those against the Texas defense in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. They're just, you know, you can pick apart fitness. You can pick up, I mean, legitimately. You know, there's a lot of things there in terms of front seven play. There's a lot of issues if your team wears down like that. But it is what it is. There is no good answer. You know, people always try to make the game complicated. I'm across from you. I shove you around. Good luck. There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. You're not going to get bigger and stronger and more physical in the next 12 minutes.
Right. They're getting shoved.
They're getting shoved.
There's no doubt.
I said the same thing after the Arkansas game. I go, look, if somebody wants to play them and go right at them and shove them, you're going to be able to pull it off.
Here's a strange question. You've watched this game a long time, and you've seen some Heisman winners. In this year of college football, do you think there is any way that Bijan Robinson can get to New York?
Oh, man, I know. I think about, you know, it's funny. I find myself in the middle of these games when you feel all of a sudden they're giving up 7-8 yards a rush. That's what I find myself thinking. I cannot believe this guy with this kind of year, this kind of talent. I went from thinking when they were leading Oklahoma on his breakout run, one of them, That Reggie Bush-like moment
decide,
run,
decide.
I thought,
yeah.
I think this guy just won the Heisman Trophy. Then they lose, and I think he might still win the Heisman Trophy. He's going to get to New York. By the end of the Oklahoma State game, I was now concluded, I don't know if he's going to get to New York.
Yeah, and Gus Johnson tried to give him that line about, he'll be there. And
I think it's righteous, but the Heisman Trophy goes to the most celebrated player and the most celebrated team, and they are quickly disappearing, and I'm not quite sure they don't have another loss left in them.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe their next game. Baylor plays a physical brand of football, and they don't make a ton of mistakes.
Yep. That's what I was thinking. I hope I'm wrong. What do you think? You think he's not going to win the Heisman Trophy now?
Oh, I don't think he's getting to New York either. I mean, because I looked up the stuff. So in the last 50 years, I found three guys, and it's actually four with Tebow, that lost their fourth in the bowl game, that lost a fourth game. Nobody's lost four regular season games and won the Heisman Trophy the last 51 years. But do I think ultimately he gets there? No. But also, he's being shown up by the other running back.
I know. That's the thing. And exactly. We can sit here and go crazy about his numbers, and they are. I mean, look, it's just he's a spectacular player. He is Ezekiel Elliott in his prime, in my opinion. But then you think, wait, that guy on the other side did something more.
Right, and there's no showcase left on the schedule.
Right.
Even if they dominated the rest of their schedule.
There's no highlight. No matter what he does against Baylor, it's not gonna have the impact of playing Oklahoma on TV.
He would have to pile up.
It's a shame. It really is a shame.
Yeah, he'd have to pile up Reggie Bush highlights like Reggie did, but he's not going to have the Nebraska game Ricky had, and he's not having that A&M opportunity.
Agreed.
I don't think
Steve Sarkisian has mishandled him. I know a lot of people pick away at it. I don't think the bottom line is the bottom line. You know, as I said a long time ago, and this is, I think, the difference in the Cowboys right now versus where they were at the start of the year. When you're terrible on defense, it puts so much pressure on your offense and your quarterback. Every mistake they make is magnified. Look, Casey, I don't know what more Casey Thompson can do. He made a mistake, but you're going to do that when you have the ball in your hands all the time. You're going to make unforced errors and forced errors. The problem is you're so horrible on defense, every mistake is magnified. So I don't know. I don't know that it's completely fair to say that the play calling has been awful. The play calling, I think, has been as good as it can be, given the situation. It's just that you notice it more because you're the constant pressure of having to score. It's just too much. You can't play football that way. And I think Oklahoma State might beat Oklahoma.
Think so? They get them in Stillwater.
I know.
Yeah.
I think they both kick it well, which gives them a chance in a close game. But I think Oklahoma State might play a little bit better defense.
Man, if you could guarantee me Rattler plays the whole game, I'll take the Cowboys. But, boy, Caleb Williams.
You
want to
bet on that?
Even with Caleb Williams? You like Oklahoma State?
See, they need Spencer Sanders.
That's the one thing, man. If you're getting give me Caleb Williams for four quarters, I got to pick OU
to
win that game.
Yeah, I get it. I think that Oklahoma State defense may get some stops that Oklahoma can't get. Yeah. I think you might be underestimating the Oklahoma State offense.
I hope you're right.
They need Spencer Sanders
to
play.
See that.
Yeah,
not like Spencer Sanders.
It's an interesting game. It's a meaningful game, and I don't think any of us saw that coming. I didn't see it coming.
Right. No, that's a monster.
That's a monster game.
That's working into a huge, huge game. Yeah, you got to give Gundy credit, man, to coach his way in and out of that one. He was about to get run out of it.
I know.
His defense made one great play, and it all turned.
And those two guys, you know, Gundy's already, I don't know if he's maxed out salary, but, you know, you get into the playoff berth, Lincoln Riley is going to, that phone's going to ring, or his agent's going to say the phone is ringing, and he's going to make a bunch of money.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
He's going to make, if he gets there, and I, you know, it's, I think it's a miracle to be as bad on defense as they are. I mean, they've been living on borrowed time, and they've pulled it off. I think you have to give him some credit for that. But think of the kind of leverage he's going to have over the next few weeks.
Could LSU
think of the leverage he has?
Could LSU try to make him
his
say
lawyer
no?
Has got to be telling every story. By the time, if I were his lawyer, I would tell him Belichick is retiring. He's going to the Patriots. he's going to Dallas. He's going. I mean, I would be dropping every big name and milk that stupid state for all I could.
Yeah, he should tell LSU no. I just wonder if they'll call. Would you call Lincoln Riley if you're LSU?
Yeah.
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 And he'll tell you no, but don't you have
why
to
do
make...
You say, why are you saying so quickly he's going to say no? What he should say is maybe, and that's what he's going to... His lawyer's going to say he said maybe.
Yeah. In terms of college football situations right now, I can make the argument Oklahoma is a better one than LSU. That's why he would stay.
Yeah, and you're going there in a couple years anyway.
Yeah, right. You're going to go to that neighborhood anyway.
You're going to be in that that zip code. I'm just telling you, from now until the end of the year, if he is a good lawyer, or even a bad lawyer, would make up every story you can think of. He's going to say LSU is calling. He's going to say the Raiders are calling. You just go down the list.
Yep. Are the Cowboys calling? Can we double check on that?
Well, you can use the clock. I mean, they got a guy who can't figure out the clock.
Exactly.
That guy can't figure out the clock.
Exactly.
What the hell is that?
Is that going to be big in the playoffs, Jeff? Do they use the clock in the playoffs?
It was almost big the other day.
Have we checked on that? Are they going to use the clock this year?
You know, look, I don't get it. I don't get it.
No.
I don't understand what's wrong. What is he looking at?
I don't know.
What is going on?
I don't know.
The other day, I mean, I really thought it was one of the few times I thought, is Tony Romo paying attention? Jim Nantz called out the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy at the end of the half. He's going, why is he not calling timeout? He's letting the clock run down. You got Dak Prescott. He's letting the clock run down. He calls timeout with 8 seconds. And then Jim Nantz goes, rightly so, what does that do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was with Nantz, and it was like Romo had been brainwashed by Jerry at some point to believe that's what you do.
Phone. I know, he's off on his phone. I mean, the fact that he didn't call timeout earlier and then waited 8 seconds was even dumber.
Yeah.
It'll cost him. To their credit, it hasn't cost him yet.
No, it didn't. And it didn't cost them at Bill Belichick, which I still can't believe.
I know.
I still can't believe they figured that one out.
That was a good win for Dallas. I know it doesn't seem like much.
Oh, it really was.
But in the NFL, where it's such a beatdown week in and week out, it's so tough to stay sharp. It's so tough to stay fresh. It's just such a beatdown. Those are the kind of games that you typically lose where you don't play well. You get a bad break. The upside for Dallas is they found a way to just grind out a win.
Yep.
Oh, and they did it with defense and kicking.
Yeah, that's a good stuff, too. A lot of substance to that game that you don't always see with that team.
Yeah, I know. That's really came away for the first time thinking that on both sides, I don't know if it lasts because in the NFL, you know, you're an injury or two from going straight back to the pack. But the defense, I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, Cowboys getting, they're in an off week, too, sitting at 5-1. That's Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com, the 6 Minutes of Football podcast, some Longhorn fan thoughts, and that crazy story of somebody that ended up with a selfie with Jimbo.
It's a cute, fun story.
God, that's a good story.
And when the guy, he does it, he was just fun.
That's awesome.
He was laughing it off. He's some frat guy saying, you know, I kept walking to the stadium. They kept pointing me down here. I kept FaceTiming.
That's awesome.
And it's just a really fun, harmless story.
That's a cool, that's an all-timer type of story. He'll tell that one the rest of his life.
Well, I asked him, you know, you would appreciate this. Or Trey would appreciate this. Trey would be trying to milk it already. I said, do you have that picture, like, in your dorm or something? It's kind of a cool conversation starter.
Sure.
I mean, date comes over, whatever. Hey, there's Jimbo Fisher and me.
Got to frame that.
Got to frame it.
Absolutely.
Because that's a good idea. Yeah. Mr. Ward?
Mr. Ward, you just got me a date.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Well, that's if... Well, I'll stop.
Yep. Go to Twitter.
I'll let Trey tell the rest
that's
of the
right.
porn stories.
At Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. Always good to see you, sir.
All right.
We do it every Tuesday at 1 o'clock with Jeff Ward. Up next, little NFL Week 6 cleanup, including an update on the Dak injury and the Baker Mayfield injury. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Skip the life and dangle. Turn court was cross the floor. I was feeling kind of seasick.
It's a heck of an idea. Is that Steve Winwood?
It is.
Yeah. You knew the song right away. At least you knew they were sampling Whiter Shade of Pale, if not doing it. Then you realize they're doing it. You got Carlos Santana, and then you put that level of singer in there. It's a good idea. Steve's still sounding all right.
Yeah.
Still getting it done. Steve Winwood. That's cool. That's a great voice, man. Good voice, good guitars. That's what it's all about. The new album is called Blessings and Miracles, one of those Santana duet records. There's got to be something on there you're going to like. This one's cool. The Chris Stapleton track is good. Rob Thomas, it's not quite as good as Supernatural, but I kind of dug it. Trey wasn't a huge fan, but I thought it was a good catchy tune.
It's a little too noisy for me.
Who else we got coming? Who else are you going to take a listen to?
Coming up next, it's going to be Diane Warren and G-Eazy with Santana.
Diane Warren sings? I thought she just wrote the great songs. I didn't know she sang.
No, maybe it is just writing the song, because okay. I'm hearing G-Eazy, at least the first voice that I'm listening to in Q as I speak with you.
Oh, geez, there's a shock. Diane Warren wrote another song that people are going to be hearing. That may be the most successful songwriter of our time. All right, so lots of good stuff there. We'll play more of those tracks for you. Let's get into a little more NFL talk here. I was just talking as Jeff Ward was leaving the studio about Derrick Henry. We talked about that incredible performance. Tennessee keeps Buffalo from going to 5-1, but we have six teams that are 5-1 or better. You got Baltimore, the Rams, Tampa, Green Bay, and Dallas are all 5-1. And then, Trey, you have the undefeated Arizona Cardinals, 6-0. They won 37-14 over the weekend in Cleveland. I was thoroughly impressed with what they did. They took it to the Browns.
Yeah, they did. DeAndre Hopkins looks back to form after a couple of down weeks. I know he was dinged up one of those weeks, but he, along with Kyler Murray, are the straws that really stir that drink that is the Arizona offense. But they got contributions from all over the place, including the running back position. Chase Edmonds looks decent. And Christian Kirk, it's funny when he is your third or fourth option on that football team, considering how good he was for them at times last year. But he and Rondale Moore seem to be switching out that number three option for the Cardinals. It's a wealth of riches for them on that side of the ball, and they are legitimately better on defense now, too.
They definitely are. I'll get back to Kirk in a second, but you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. I rewatched that fake-out move about five times in a row because I don't think I've ever seen anybody fake out two legit NFL players, like two guys width-wise. He faked them both out, and neither touched him. It was remarkable.
You're talking about the play where he makes it into the end zone?
That touchdown play where he faked him out on the five-yard line. That was remarkable. But here's the scary part for everybody else. If you're a Cowboys fan, Packers fan, Bucks fan, I do not care. This should terrify everyone. Kyler Murray, the first, everybody's going to talk about the runs. Everybody's going to talk about the big, long, deep throws. That pass to Christian Kirk should scare everybody that doesn't root for that team. He climbed the pocket, but he didn't spin and vacate out like he normally does and like he did in an early career. He climbed it enough, faded a little left, and he threw a big boy NFL pass when it was necessary. His rating in that game was 129 flat.
Wow.
If he's going to do that, he becomes the greatest weapon the NFL has ever seen. If he or Lamar or one of those dudes, Mahomes is already getting himself there. That's like highest level weaponry we have ever seen. And Kyler Murray is obviously putting in that work. That was a big boy throw. They don't get enough love for those little throws. But that throw was a hell of an NFL moment for me from Kyler Murray. Watching his development, that's scary, scary stuff.
Yes, it was. And on the other side, Cleveland really is a fun football team to watch, but unfortunately, injuries are starting to catch up with them. Their backfield, which at the start of the season was one of the best in the NFL, just in terms of those first two options for you with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, both those guys are dinged right now with calf injuries. I don't know what Chubb's status is for Thursday Night Football, but also Baker Mayfield gritting it out, sucking it up, playing through a torn left labrum to finish that ball game. There was some concern after the game that it may be a season-ending injury for him. They've come out in the last 24 hours or so. I don't know if it was this morning or technically last night, and said they don't think it's going to be a season ender, but you would have to imagine it's going to keep him out for at least a couple of games and hinder his ability to throw the football the rest of the season. If it is that bad of an injury that missing the rest of the year was a possibility, this is something that's going to hamper him going forward, and they need their quarterback now more than ever that their two-star running backs are out. Now it's on D'Ernest Johnson. That's the starting running back, assuming Nick Chubb can't go this Thursday.
I think you also have to hold your breath the rest of the day if you're a Cleveland fan. I'm reading they're going after a second opinion from Baker's doctor, and they're going to review the MRI later today. Right now, the team is saying no surgery required, and it's not going to end his season. But once they get another look at it, who knows? It's his opposite shoulder, but that could be bad.
I mean, he was clearly in pain anytime he was throwing the football after he suffered the injury. And he goes out for a little bit, somewhat miraculously comes back in. He got some love from the home crowd when they realized that he was coming back in the game. Because when they were picking him up off the field, it looked like there was no chance he was coming back.
No, that's rough. That looks absolutely rough. So we'll keep an eye on that story. Also, the Dak Prescott injury. Cowboys yesterday saying they are optimistic that Dak will be okay with the calf. Perfect timing on the bye week. We'll see, but they're calling it a strain on the calf muscle. But again, with the bye week, Cowboys going to Minnesota after the bye week, and Trey, if it helps, he gets all the way till Sunday night. They don't kick till the Sunday night game with Minnesota, so he gets a little extra rest that way.
Look, just be careful here. I mean, Kareem Hunt hurts his calf, suffers a calf strain. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. Michael Gallup, wasn't it a calf strain that knocked him out first game of the season?
I think it might have been a calf.
I think it was. Yeah. He is still not back to playing just yet. So don't push it with Dak. If he needs to miss a game to get an extra week of rest before you roll him back out there, don't hesitate to do that. A single loss, assuming that you do lose that game, which perhaps you do because it is Minnesota. They're okay this year. But then again, maybe you do roll the dice with the backup to give him that one more week.
By the way, Trey, real quick before the break, I got to give one guy on Cleveland's team credit, and it's Jadeveon Clowney. You want to know if there's anything left in Jadeveon Clowney? He had a rush where he came free on Kyler Murray. Kyler was trying to spin out to the left and get back and escape. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, here we go. And by the time I thought, oh, here, Jadeveon Clowney had put his paw on Kyler Murray's shoulder, and he put that dude in a sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
That was impressive. Kyler Murray got a little taste of what the NFL can truly be on the freakish front side. I thought he was going to escape because that's what I watch him do every week. He completely shut down that idea from Kyler. So shout out to you, Jadeveon Clowney. I'm going to tell him you still got something left. Because that's freaky. Not everybody does that to Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
That was nice. But Cleveland's going to need a lot more of that. And then the biggest thing is they got to hope by the end of today, Baker Mayfield is still their quarterback. Because if that changes, obviously everything changes in Cleveland. NFL Week 6 is behind us. Week 7 will come up starting on Thursday. Cowboys with the week off. So there's some injury updates for you. Up next, it's where are we at in society? Apparently Halloween is getting the 2021 treatment. Well, it was only a matter of time. Trey will get you the details on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
She said sorry for the fire alarms, but she walks in a room. Leaves you in a pile of ashes. We won't look at you.
Trey's getting you stuff from the new Santana record. What's this one, Trey?
This one, Chad, is Santana, G-Eazy, and Diane Warren is either appearing somewhere on the song or she helped write the song, and that song is titled She's Fire.
She's Fire. I just love that somebody like G-Eazy is working with Carlos Santana. I love those ideas. Somebody comes up with that. Hey, let's get G-Eazy in here. Carlos goes, yeah, sure. Or you might say, who's that? And then G-Eazy might say, who's Carlos Santana? And then they both get to learn. That's awesome. That cool guitar.
Yep.
Cool catchy hook there. She's Fire is a part of Blessings and Miracles, Santana's new record with all kinds of cool duets.
Does the name Kirk Hammett mean anything to you?
Yes. That would be the guitar player from Metallica.
Okay, well, that's coming up next.
Okay.
Along with Mark Asegueda.
Don't know that name.
So Mark Acequeda and the guitarist from Metallica are doing something with Santana coming up next.
I'm interested.
And it's called America for Sale.
I'm interested because whoever Mark Acequeda is, he better bring some vocals because Carlos doesn't, and neither does Kirk Hammett. So
true.
That guy better be the singer, otherwise it's an instrumental.
Yeah, Santana doesn't sing anymore, does he?
Yeah.
I mean, he sang on Black Magic Woman.
I think he did, or was that somebody? Yeah.
Oh,
maybe.
Was that somebody else?
I'd have to go back and double check if that was
actually
Carlos.
I always assumed that was him.
Yeah, that may have been one. I think they might have been a group that was sort of a Van Halen thing, where okay. The guy that got the name wasn't actually the singer.
Ah.
I could be wrong about that. I could be wrong. I'm not a Santana historian, but I think I might be right on that.
Dude,
one.
NFL Network just keeps showing this Derrick Henry run on replay.
Dude, it's unbelievable.
And it's hard not to watch it every time it pops up.
Right, because he runs by them like they're little children.
It looks like a video game.
Because at that point, he treats them like little children.
It looks like the linebacker that you created that all of a sudden you're putting on the offensive side of the ball, and he's so fast, he just still beats everybody.
It is dumb. It really is. It's like... I've been trying to come up with what's the way to explain him. It's almost like either Bo Jackson or Ricky Williams and Vince Young had a baby. Like, take Vince and one of those kind of backs and put them together, and maybe you get Derrick Henry.
Bo might be a good straight comparison. Like, Bo was on his level.
Oh, yeah, he was that dude.
Without that hip injury.
When Bo took off down the sidelines at Auburn, that was scary good stuff, mm-hmm. man. He was so quick. All right, a lot of football out there, obviously. We'll get back to a football discussion at 2. Did you hear what happened at Washington State? We have not only had our first story of a Power 5 coach saying, I'm not getting a vaccine, now it's cost him his job. We'll talk about that story coming up at 2:05. But right now, Trey's got a little where we at in society for you, and it's almost Halloween. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
Today's where we at in society brought to you by Southwest deciding to not implement its vaccine mandate. That'll be a part of the conversation coming up next segment. Mm. Right now, though, Chad, we need to talk about how Halloween is being 2021 in various places, or at least certain elements of Halloween.
Here
would you like
go.
To go national or international with the first of two stories?
Let's start long, far away from home, and we'll come back. Let's start international.
Okay. So we go to Scotland for
okay.
this next story.
Oh, goody.
Where National Theatre Scotland has banned a word at Halloween because it is deemed too close to a racial slur.
Okie doke.
The word spooky has been canceled this Halloween after National Theatre Scotland banned the word from their shows after it was identified as a racial slur. NTS plans to drop the alleged racial slur despite the fact that businesses from supermarkets to Visit Scotland are planning to use the term in their build-up to October 31st. The organization last used the term in 2016.
Oh, my God. It's been that long?
For a Christmas carol at the old Kirk in Kirkcaldy when the venue was described as a spooky location.
Yeah.
Seems pretty apropos.
Sure, it's Halloween stuff.
However, the charity expressed a commitment to fighting racism following the global Black Lives Matter movement.
The Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah,
I fully support that.
Moving on up.
Yeah.
And as part of that, they have identified offensive words, including spooky. A theater source said, quote, no one has complained about it, but there were worries that they could in the future.
Wait, okay, that's it. Read that sentence again. You just got to the problem. Read that again.
No one has complained about it, but there were worries that they could in the future.
Oh, I mean, that is the best way to explain the overly careful culture better than I can. Was anybody mad? No. No. Oh, so nobody was mad. Nope. But you just thought they could? Like, what are you? That, you know, Trey, here's also what I worry about with a story like that. If you're going out of your way to tell me you're doing this to avoid being racist, doesn't it kind of speak to this weird latent racism that you're showing us anyway?
Yeah, you're leaning into it.
If every
honestly,
time,
that's the irony of this.
Yeah, if every time you hear and say and use the word spooky, if you're thinking something racist like the rest of the universe isn't, that's really about you. That's not about us. You know what I mean?
How about this quote from the theater? There might not be many people who know that spooky can also be used as a racist term, But even if it's one person who is offended, one person too many.
Is this the same person that took the call from the woman after Janet Jackson? If one person gets upset.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to take the stance in this day and age where you can at least get one person outraged about anything? That one person is going to do it for you? Because pretty soon you're going to have to put the theater out of business.
Oh, my God. You know what I thought of when you said that word? I thought of that cool, was it a 60s tune? Love is kind of crazy with a spooky little girl like you. That's what I thought of. Spooky. That's a cool track. Nothing wrong with it.
Oh, man. It's believed that the Dutch word spook translates to ghost in English and has been used since the 19th century. It's also been used to describe a spy. You can call a CIA agent a spook.
Yes.
And a ghost.
You can do that, too.
Is it a racist term? I'm asking a question here. I've really never heard it in a racist manner.
Oh, the singular, absolutely. Yes, it is.
What word? Spooky?
No, without the Y.
Spook.
Correct. That word, I don't even want to say it, because yes, it can be used as a racial slur. The word spooky, I have never heard used that way, ever. And I'm not around a ton of racists. I'm not an expert on racist language all the time. But yes, I've heard it used. Here's my vantage point. I believe Archie Bunker might have used that word to describe black people in an All in the Family episode.
Mm.
I believe that is true. But I've never heard anyone use the word spooky in that reference. Every time I hear the word spooky used, it's a Halloween reference, or it's that song, or that's it. Or I'm talking about something I saw in a football game. That dude was spooky good. That dude was freaky good. That dude was awesome.
All right, well, I guess my apologies, because I really hadn't heard it as a racial term before. So I guess there's just the hint of credence, but even still, give me a break.
No, that's
everybody
that
can distinguish the difference between blatant racism and you using the word spooky at Halloween. Give me a break.
I agree.
By the way, if you're going here, if you're this theater and you're going here, you're not allowed to use ghost anymore as part of your Halloween production.
Yeah, that's just dumb.
Well, you're not, though.
I know.
Because the white sheet going over a person, that can certainly be deemed as racist.
Yeah, I guess that's true, too. Yeah, right. If you're going to go on what could and what might, then you're going to have a lot of stuff you can get rid of. Okay, so what's going on stateside?
Stateside, I guess not surprising because of what this state represents. No, I'm not talking about California, nor is it Illinois or New York, but it is Massachusetts where we go to next.
Ah.
Specifically, a suburb of Boston, where families received this email from a school yesterday. It's families of kids in an elementary school this particular school, which shall remain nameless.
I can't wait.
Dear fifth grade families, school year's off to a great start. We love your kids, yada, yada, yada. As some of you know, for many years, on the school day closest to Halloween, fifth graders have worn their Halloween costumes to school and paraded through the school.
Sure.
It is an event that many students enjoy. However, we have several school community members who do not celebrate Halloween or are upset by the costumes or for whom purchasing a costume is a hardship.
Oh, Lord.
As a school that believes deeply in making sure everyone is welcomed and included, we will no longer be inviting Halloween costumes into the school.
Wow.
That being said, we know that our fifth graders are looking forward to doing something fun and special at the end of the month. We are too. We are shifting to a new tradition.
Oh, no.
The fifth grade team has planned an afternoon full of fun activities inspired by the interests and ideas of our students. Teachers have shared our shift in practice with the students. Now, what if the students vote to dress up 2 days before Halloween?
I know, right?
Is it back on at that point?
I have no idea.
But there we go. We have some people who, you are a self-admitted hater of Halloween, especially adults dressing up in Halloween. I'm assuming you're not crazy about it for kids dressing up and going to school, but you also understand that there is a time and place for that. And kids right there on the edge of being able to enjoy Halloween for what it is for the littles, come on now. Let's not ruin it for them too.
Dude, this is all about what I like to call the belt boundary. When you get past the age where your name on your belt is cool, that's when you need to stop Halloween costumes, jersey wearing, and a lot of other stuff, in my opinion. These are fifth graders. Fifth graders. If you can't understand, so basically they took people like me extreme people like me actually communicated with the school, which is dumb, to say, I don't like Halloween. You know what, Chad? Shut up. Sit off to the side and let them have Halloween. I know how much people love Halloween. It's not my thing. But fifth graders, of course they want to wear their stuff and go. That's what it's all about. They're kids. Halloween's for kids. Let them be kids. That's insane. And for anybody to go, well, we can't afford. Stop it. Stop complaining.
And I feel like
don't complain.
I feel like the cutoff is elementary school into middle school.
Absolutely.
Or junior high.
Yes.
And they're right there at that cutoff. And if there's a kid or a couple of kids or maybe even more than a couple of kids who can't afford Halloween costumes, I'm guessing somebody else in that community can step up to help them enjoy that.
They'll figure that part out. Right. That's a great
point. I mean, what about
point.
The sense of community there?
Yeah.
The sense of coming together and like helping everybody to enjoy themselves versus shutting it down for everybody.
And if you're like we were, most people are like this. When you hit fifth grade, the next year there's a transition coming. For me, it was 1 year at a middle school, then off to junior high. But fifth grade is a big deal. You're the oldest young kid at that point, usually. You're running the school. Let my little guys and little girls bust out with some Dracula. Let her wear the witch outfit. She's been thinking about it for 2 years. You're going to tell her she can't wear the witch outfit? Why? Because some idiots like me don't like Halloween and because a couple people can't afford it? Tell the people that can't afford it that the people can't afford it. They'll get them some costumes and then move along.
Oh, I didn't even tell you about this one yet.
My God.
Okay, we're up on a break here. I need to let you know what my Saturday plans are.
This
on
Saturday?
The other side, yeah, and probably have you
does it involve
like
Halloween?
Me a little bit less, yes.
Oh, nice. All right, yeah. Let's do that. Then we'll jump into this Washington State discussion because they fired their head coach and four football assistants because they wouldn't get vaccinated. Nope, I'm not making that up. We'll tell you the details coming up on the Horn.